Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
The Travelers Broadcasting Service, as Hartford, Connecticut.
Founded in 1925.
It's fascinating. The Travelers, you know, creates the radio station, and they did it really early, 1925. That was the very early days of radio.
WTIC is news.
This is Bob Steele speaking to you from the front yard of Victory House.
Here in the state capitol, Connecticut is paying its official tribute to the memory of the late President John F. Kennedy.
WTIC Radio presents a visit with Governor of the State, Chester Bowles, at home.
Most of what we hear about the energy crisis talks about a shortage of heating oil for the winter or added fuel for summer driving.
Ever since September 11th, it was just a matter of time before they actually sent us overseas.
Connecticut, we're all in this together.
Entertainment.
We hear from Montavani and the orchestra. Moon River.
We'll be playing two songs back to back.
That's one of the 8 million selling records that Artie Shaw and his orchestra recorded. It's called Back Bay Shuffle.
Morgan, this is Tony Orlando.
Opinion.
This is Rush Limbaugh on Connecticut's great radio station, WTIC 1080.
Ladies and gentlemen, your calls work. This is your legislators responding to a common sense approach.
Thank you, WTIC.
Sports.
Outboard races on the Connecticut River at Hartford.
And the Whalers jump 25 feet in the air with that emotional goal.
Connecticut is the basketball capital of the country for 2004.
Personality.
These look like peanut butter cookies.
They are.
Okay.
Our journey to celebrating 100 years of WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC.
On Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
Here it is, folks, the third chapter of The Broadcaster at 100. Hi there, I'm Morgan Cunningham, and today we're going to celebrate our long-lasting legacy with UConn games, which was not consecutive. It went back and forth. A lot of people probably don't remember that WTIC Radio had the UConn rights from 1956 until 1977. Then, from 1977 until 1992, the Connecticut Radio Network had the rights, and the games were heard on crosstown rival WPOP. From 1992 until 2018, the games were back on WTIC when we created the UConn Radio Network, and now those games have moved on elsewhere. Still, it was a very big part of our identity. Many people recognize us for it. And although our conversation today is going to focus mostly on 1992 to 2018 with Wayne Norman, color analyst for UConn during that era, in fact, going back to 1979 when it was on CRN, I do want to pay tribute to those earliest years. Not a lot of recordings exist from it that we know of, but these thrilling 30 seconds of UConn's upset over Princeton do exist with George Ehrlich and the call on WTIC.
Bradley, double team, holds the ball, stolen by Pernell. Dom Pernell steals with 18 seconds from Bradley. Pernell dribbles right, holds the ball in the corner, Della Sala, 14 seconds. Pernell to Slumsinski, 10 seconds to go. In the corner, Kimball. Kimball in the corner. Clears it out to Slumsinski, 7 seconds, 6 seconds. Della Sala has the ball. Beats to Pernell with 3 seconds. Who shoots? No good. The rebound. There's the gun. UConn has won 52-50. The Huskies go into the finals of the East. Wow.
Yeah, wow indeed. And I'd like to thank our guest Wayne Norman for that audio. See, I always give credit where credit's due. Wayne, let's talk about your earliest years actually working UConn broadcasts. I know that you had been a fan in the years before, but working them, that's a totally different reality.
My first year was 79. I did two games filling in for Scott Gray. That, by the way, was CRN. That wasn't TIC. In fact, it was when Scott Gray went to TIC that opened the door for me to get the gig full-time on CRN. And then eventually in 92, you know, went back to TIC, and Scott did a lot of the women's games early on, mid-90s, 94, 95. But anyway, I've been doing UConn games in some capacity since 79.
Well, let's talk about the transition in 1992 from the games on CRN and crosstown rival WPOP to the 50,000-watt flamethrower, as we like to say, WTIC.
Yes, absolutely right. When I got the full-time gig after Scott had gone to TIC, they hooked me up with this guy who I'd heard about but didn't know anything about. His name was Marty Glickman. Marty Glickman, legendary name in sportscasting. And I'm a California kid. What do I know about Marty Glickman? Well, I worked close to 5 years with him. And we got off to a bit of a rocky start, but it really turned around in a hurry. And he had a lot of respect for me, gave me a lot of compliments. And I look back on it and I go, man, that's like saying you work with Vin Scully. You know, it's that big a deal. So, but that was CRN that just made the call one day to him, and he didn't say no. And then Marty got sick in the late part of the 85-86 season. That would have been about January, February, 86. That is when Joe first got the gig. He started filling in for Marty. He did a bunch of games on CRN. He left POP, which was a CRN affiliate, and he went to TIC, and he went to TIC when TIC got the rights. That was the reason for that move. But anyway, yeah, we both were mentored by Marty.
Color analyst for UConn, Wayne Norman, my guest on Spotlight Connecticut, celebrating the broadcaster at 100. UConn Part 1. Joe D'Ambrosio will be here for Part 2 in a later episode. Wayne, I've heard the story from you, I've heard it from other people, that 1992 beginning at the start of the season when WTIC just got the rights and everybody's all excited for the games on 1080 again, it was a rough start.
When you look at the history of UConn men's basketball, I still say to this day, the most important recruit in UConn history was Chris Smith. He became the school's career scoring leader. He is still the school's career scoring leader. His last game was in the NCAA tournament, second round against Ohio State in 1992. And then in the fall of 92, that is when WTIC got the rights back from the Connecticut Radio Network. But when TIC first started doing the games again in 92, their first game was a UConn football game against a Division II school, the University of New Haven, at Memorial Stadium in Storrs. And New Haven won that game 14-13. It was an embarrassing loss for UConn football. And that was the first WTIC broadcast once they regained the rights. And then you take it to the end of that same academic year, 92-93, the men's basketball team, which had been 2.6 seconds away from the Final Four in 1990, getting to the Elite Eight and losing in overtime to Duke, this UConn team ended up going to the NIT, hosting a first-round game at Gamble against Jackson State, and Lindsey Hunter of Jackson State scored 39 points in the overtime Jackson State win. So the season began with a bad loss for football. The season ended with a bad loss for UConn men's basketball. But things got better from there.
Sure did, Wayne. Wayne Norman, the color analyst for UConn, who was part of WTIC's coverage of the games from 1992 until 2018. As we continue this special look back on the broadcaster at 100, UConn Part 1 with Wayne. We're just getting started, and he doesn't use notes.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, this is former Connecticut Governor John Rowland, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. Happy birthday, WTIC.
Hi, it's Morgan Cunningham with you on the broadcaster at 100 on Spotlight Connecticut, continuing in our third chapter, looking back at the years 1992 to 2018 when we broadcast UConn games. Of course, there were other years when we broadcast UConn games, but that era is our focus today. Our guest is UConn's color analyst, Wayne Norman. Wayne, you know, a lot of people who've been listening for a long time to WTIC remember Fieldhouse. Maybe younger listeners only know Gamble Pavilion. Could you talk about the two and that change from Fieldhouse over to Gamble?
Yes, and the first game was on January 27th against St. John's. Tough ticket to get. And it's also my thought that the popularity and the demand for tickets to see men's basketball at Gamble helped the UConn women's basketball program. Geno had begun to develop a product. They went to the Final Four in 1991. And people couldn't get in to see men's games because they're all sold out back in the 1990 season. And they said, well, I want to see a game there. Well, let me get a women's ticket. And they would go to the women's games, and Geno had product on the court, had great players, again, Final Four, 91. And I think people began to come back for the women's games. And I truly feel that it was the opening of Gamble and the demand for men's tickets that helped create the demand for women's tickets. And they eventually started selling their games out, too.
I know, Wayne, that you're an advocate of that 1960s UConn era, which was not a bad era. But, of course, we're talking about post-1992 when WTIC regained the broadcast rights for UConn. Could you talk about the growth that you saw in the program from 92 into the early 2000s?
People sometimes forget that UConn had good teams back in the 1960s. They had guys like Toby Kimball, Wes Balasubnia, coached by the great Fred Schaible, a guy that came up to UConn after being an assistant coach at Duke. And Toby was a guy who went on to play in the NBA for, I think it was 9 years for 11 different teams. Here's a college kid who was basically bald, but he was 6'8", 6'9", and he was a beast inside, especially when it came to rebounding. And then Wes Balasubnia from Poughkeepsie, the Poughkeepsie Popper, came in. And for him, what was now a three-point shot was like a layup. He had a constant green light. He was always able to shoot from wherever he was on the court. And they played together early in Wes's career. But those teams, 64 through 67, were really good. And when I wrote my book in 2004, 2005, called Hoop Tales, UConn Huskies Men's Basketball, Toby Kimball reached out to me. And he and I and Wes Balasubnia and I became really close friends. Both those guys are passed away now. But what Toby said is, I want to thank you for reminding people that UConn played good basketball before Jim Calhoun got there. People forget that they were really good in the late 60s.
And it's worth noting that before 92, when WTIC picked up the games, you had Scott Burrell from Hamden.
He was a freshman in that 89-90. They call it the dream season. And he did a lot of things on the court to make UConn better, but probably the thing he did the best, he was a terrific defender. You teamed him up in 89-90 with Nadav Hennefeld, only played 1 year at UConn, and they created what they basically called the Steel Curtain Defense, STEAL. So without Nadav Hennefeld, Scotty might be the single season steals leader, but he became a team leader. He was so athletic. He could get rebounds. He could score. He was a great player, and again, 89-90 was his freshman year.
We've got the Richard Hamilton, Rip Hamilton years in the late 90s. What are your recollections from that era?
He came in with a really good freshman class. It included guys like Kevin Freeman and Jake Voskal. And that 97 team did not make the NCAA tournament. They made the NIT. They played five games. They went to Madison Square Garden, where they played two games in the NIT. And in retrospect now, you look back at how Richard Hamilton developed over the course of that season. In the five NIT postseason games in 1997, he averaged 25 points a game. 2 years later, Richard Hamilton would become the Final Four most outstanding player after that win over Duke.
Not long ago, Wayne, somebody made the remark about Jim Calhoun outcoaching Coach K. What would you say to that?
I'd go along with that, and certainly the poster child for that would be the 1999 National Championship game, where Duke was heavily favored, and UConn with Richard Hamilton, Kevin Freeman, Khalid El-Amin, Ricky Moore, and those guys, they won that game 77-74. And one story that I've never forgotten and truly appreciated is that to this day, I still have a chat with the UConn assistant coaches before the game, getting an idea what the mindset is. And I talk about that before the opening tap to give people an idea of how UConn thinks the game's going to play out. Well, the UConn assistant coach then, who is assistant coach now, Tom Moore, before the 99 National Championship game, sat down with me, gave me a detailed version of the game plan. One thing he told me, he says, our guards are quicker than their guards, and our game plan is to put the ball on the floor and go by them. Anybody who remembers that game remembers how good Ricky Moore was, especially in the first half. Not a big offensive player much of the year unless they needed him. UConn was down early. Ricky put the ball on the floor, went by the slower Duke guards, got layups. Khalid El-Amin did similar things, and UConn eventually won that game. And that was the first of the four national championships. But I really thought that Coach Calhoun and his assistants really outcoached Coach K that night down in St. Petersburg.
And around the turn of the century there, you had, of course, the big victories for the UConn women's basketball team, their championships.
After they won the 95 national championship, they were competitive every year. But they had a lot of injuries that ended up being factors in their inability to go on and win championships until 2000. That was the Sue Bird and those teams. Between 2000 and 2004, those 5 years, they won four national championships. 2001, they should have won the national championship, and they didn't. Had they won that, they would have won five straight. They had a 17-point lead in the Final Four semifinal game against Notre Dame, and then Muffet McGraw went to his zone. UConn couldn't shoot over it, and Notre Dame came all the way back and won it, and they eventually won the national championship. So five straight years, the Big East had a national champion, but in 2001, it should have been UConn, ended up being Notre Dame. And of course, Donna Taurasi was a freshman that year, but she was able to lead that team, among other great players, in 2002, 2003, 2004 to national championships. That's not quite what Brianna Stewart did, where all 4 years at UConn, 2013 through 2016, the Huskies won the women's national championship, which, by the way, that's their last national championship, 2016.
I know we're jumping around a little bit, Wayne, but talk about that, like, 2013 to 2016 era for the women's basketball team, could you?
Well, that was the Brianna Stewart years, and you could make a pretty good argument for who is the best player in UConn women's basketball history. I am still a big Diana Taurasi fan. I still say that we had Diana and they didn't. That was the cliche back in the early 2000s. But I think, if not tied for first, a very close second is Brianna Stewart. She literally carried that team to those four championships. Yeah, Gino got her a good supporting cast, but I don't think without Stewart, they're going to win those four national championships.
UConn color analyst Wayne Norman with me, Morgan Cunningham, on WTIC News Talk 1080. A salute to the broadcaster at 100. We are marking our partnership with UConn, specifically looking back on the 1992 to 2018 years. Wayne, I have to say to everybody that you're not using your notes. This is all by memory. How do you store all this stuff up there and know what you're talking about and keep it all straight? And also, if you don't remember it, you know where to look it up and how to find the info.
I pride myself on my game prep. I do a lot of work before every broadcast I do. I subscribe to the Vince Scully theory, and that is over-prepare for every game. You might only use 30% of what you prepared for, but when something happens, you are ready for it, and you can say it on the air. And with baseball that he did, and to a lesser extent, the UConn sports I do, sometimes if you don't get one of those nuggets in, it'll hold until the next game. You don't have to get everything in. But when something happens, I'm ready for it. And I also pride myself on being a UConn historian of sorts. Joe was this way, too, that we go back so far with the program. And, you know, I saw UConn games as a quote unquote student, he says, tongue in cheek. So, you know, I saw games in the 60s. I saw games in the 70s. I knew these players. I didn't broadcast Tony Hansen's game, but Tony Hansen's one of my all time favorite players. I saw him play in dozens, if not maybe 100 games in his UConn career. He and I became close personal friends. He actually lived for a while in Willimantic, was actually involved in politics in Willimantic back in the days. But you talk about the all-time great UConn players, I think on my list, probably Ray Allen's number one. And I would put Tony Hansen pretty high on the list. Back in the 60s, I talked earlier about Toby Kimball and Wes Balasubnia. There's some great players there. Kemba, definitely on my all-time great list. And I already mentioned that when it came to the women's team, you're not going to convince me that Diana Taurasi is not the greatest player in UConn women's history. I think when it comes to Diana, is that she would not let her team lose. Okay, they lost a couple of games over the course of time, but she had the most competitive spirit. She was tough as nails. When you needed a big basket, she would make it. She was a wonderful player, and she's still my all-time favorite UConn women's player.
What about men's?
Well, my favorite all-time player is Ray Allen. And Kemba's very high on the list. I got to know Tony very well, Tony Hansen. Didn't broadcast his games, but I knew him well as a person. Tony, who lived in Willimantic for a while, and was involved in politics in Willimantic, he and I were good personal friends. And then back in the 60s, Wes Balasubnia, Toby Kimball, two tremendous players. It could be a long list of some of the great all-time players. Emeka Okafor. He would not let UConn lose, despite the injuries he had in 2004. He had the game-winning shot in that classic game, maybe the most exciting game I've ever seen, in 2004 semifinal when UConn came from 8 points down with 2:40 to go to beat Duke on a 12-0 run. I will add the fact that I had no voice for that game, so Donnie Marshall filled in for me on TIC and on the network. But I was there. I was doing stats, and I did post-game interviews in the locker room with a little voice that I had with some of the players involved in that classic win. Two nights later, they want to blow out Georgia Tech. They had a 25-point lead. You look at the dominance of this year's men's basketball team. Well, that 2004 UConn men's basketball team did that too.
Wayne Norman, as we get into the break, he is a color analyst for the UConn Sports Games. And he was on WTIC doing the color analysis from 1992 to 2018. I'm Morgan Cunningham, and if you'd like to reach out to me, my email is morgan.cunningham@odyssey.com. Once more, because I know it's convoluted and long-winded, morgan.cunningham@audacy.com. And always on social media, at MC News Talk. There's more of the Broadcaster at 100 coming up in moments.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNCs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Hi, this is Robert H. Steele, one of the sons of WTIC's Bob Steele, and you're listening to Morgan Cunningham, wishing WTIC a very happy anniversary.
And as I've been reminding people, at some point we will have that Bob Steele special, not one, but two. I know a lot of people are looking forward to those, so keep listening. And on the last Saturday of the month, when you least expect it, you will hear it. I'm Morgan Cunningham, and it is our anniversary series, chapter number 3, UConn Part 1, as we celebrate the broadcaster at 100. Wayne Norman is our guest, color analyst for UConn Athletics, heard on WTIC during that 1992 to 2018 period. Wayne, during these years that you're covering the games, you were back and forth men's, women's basketball in all football games.
Yes, and in that time period, around 1994, I can't guarantee, it might have been 93, but I'm going to say 94, WTIC and the statewide network began to broadcast some selected UConn games. I think it was 94. We did 3 UConn women's games on the radio, and then we did more. I don't know if it was the entire schedule in 95, and people who know their UConn women's basketball know that was the year of Rebecca Lobo and the year they won their first national championship. I know that Scott Gray was the play-by-play voice on TIC and on the network at the Final Four in Minneapolis when the women won their first championship. So now TIC and the network is doing a combination of men's basketball, women's basketball, and of course in the fall doing the football as well. I think what the women's schedule became, it essentially became doing most games unless there was a head-to-head conflict with the men's games. These days, including the later years of TIC, they would put one on 1080 and put the other one on 96.5. So in other words, they would do all the games now. I think back then, if there was a conflict, we'd take the men's games and wouldn't broadcast the women's games. But really, that broadcasting the women's games starting in the mid-90s ended up being great radio programming. And to be honest, it still is. There's a big fan base for the UConn women, as we all know. And if you can't watch it on TV, the radio's there, and a lot of people I know turn the TV sound down and listen to games on the radio. What a great concept.
Well, it's time I bring it up. When I was talking with our boss, Steve Salhaney, recently, his remembrances of UConn and our partnership with them, he took me back to 2004 right away. Said it was one of the biggest years, if not the biggest year, WTIC had the UConn games. And I have recordings of that old legal ID used in that era that said that Connecticut was the basketball capital of the country for 2004. Joe D's words.
By the way, you mentioned Steve. I want to also give a shout out to Janine Lee, two people who were just great to work with in my years at WTIC. But in 2004, that was the year that UConn football was granted entry into the Big East. It was supposed to be 2005, but the league lost some teams and they wanted to accelerate that. So I'm not sure. On one hand, UConn was ready for it. On the other hand, they had Dan Orlovsky as quarterback. They did all right. And I think that one thing that made 2004 special for UConn football was they got to their first bowl game. They went to the Motor City Bowl in Detroit, And they won that game pretty easily. And then, of course, also in 2004, the women's basketball team won the national championship. And, oh, yeah, the men's basketball team, Ben Gordon and Mac Okafor, they won the national championship. The first of two times that the same school won national championships in the same year. It happened again in 2014. No other school has done that. So, yeah, 2004, special year at UConn.
Let's jump over to 2006. Men's basketball should have won the NCAA title. Coach Calhoun looks back on this and feels it was his most disappointing career loss. Could you comment on what happened there?
All right, well, the loss was to George Mason in overtime in the Elite Eight. That 2006 team was loaded. They had Rudy Gay, Rashad Anderson, Marcus Williams, Denham Brown, a freshman named Jeff Adrian, who would get them to the Final Four in 2009. But that team, I think, peaked too early. They lost to Syracuse in overtime in the Big East tournament, and they struggled in all four of their NCAA tournament games. They had to come from behind. I think they were down 12 with 12 minutes to go in the first round game against Albany. They struggled to beat Kentucky, which had Rajon Rondo. They had to go overtime to beat Washington in the Sweet 16, a game that without a buzzer-beating three-pointer at the end of regulation by Rashad Anderson, they would have lost also. And then they play George Mason. UConn has had a track record, maybe as bad as any other Division I team, of playing NCAA tournament games at or near other teams' hometowns. This one was at the Verizon Center, MCI, whatever its nom de jour is. And George Mason's in Fairfax, Virginia. They had a huge crowd there rooting on George Mason, rooting on for the underdog. And George Mason spread the court. UConn didn't defend it well. But again, they hadn't been playing well in the prior four postseason games anyway. And eventually, Jim Larrañaga and George Mason won it, and they went on to the Final Four. That UConn team had six players who went on to play professional basketball. Rudy Gay, clearly the best. Rudy is still in the NBA, last time I saw. Here we are almost 20 years later. And clearly, that team shouldn't just have gotten to the Final Four. That team had the talent to win the national championship, and they didn't. So I totally agree with what Coach Calhoun said about that 2006 team.
2007 essentially sets up for the 2009 Final Four.
Well, because of all the seniors and the players that left off the 2006 team, Coach Calhoun had to really restock in 2007. They did not go to the postseason in 2007. He had nine new players, but some of those players, as you said, did factor into what became the Final Four team in 2009. The Huskies got better in 2008, and then eventually, despite losing Jerome Dyson, went on to the Final Four. And I might add, too, that 2009 was also the year of that incredible, that legendary six overtime loss to Syracuse in the Big East tournament. Morgan, that game got over at 1:22 in the morning. We were the fourth of four games that day. It already was starting late to begin with. And Syracuse did not lead in any of the overtimes until the sixth overtime. It was basically a war of attrition with a lot of players fouling out. So Syracuse got the six overtime win, but UConn got the trip to the Final Four. Syracuse didn't. Huskies played well enough, but again, here they are playing Michigan State in Detroit, another game where the home field, and now this is a huge stadium, like 70 or 80,000, something like that. So they got beaten in the semifinal game there, and they didn't get to the championship game, but still, that was a great ride for that 2009 team. Just 2 years after Coach Calhoun had to basically start from scratch to rebuild a team that should have won a national championship in 06.
Wayne Norman, UConn color analyst for athletics, sports, men's basketball, women's basketball, and football. We're looking back on the 1992 to 2018 UConn WTIC era on the broadcaster at 100. I'm Morgan Cunningham. People want us to talk a little bit about the Big East, Wayne.
You go back to the original days of the Big East, and UConn was a punching bag. And you're talking about some of the great programs in college basketball, Georgetown, St. John's, and the like. And then came the guy from Braintree, Massachusetts, Jim Calhoun, who slowly built that team, and they became a powerhouse. And, of course, The switch got flipped in 1990 when sophomore Chris Smith, Tate George, and the like went on to win the Big East tournament. And they did it by beating two of the great powerhouses in the form of Georgetown and Syracuse on back-to-back days or nights, whatever it was. And they did it with their starting center, Rod Sellers, who's missing with a knee injury. So that was amazing. And from that point on, then UConn became the beast of the East, and they began to dominate the Big East Conference. They became the team to beat, much the way those teams that UConn used to play in the Big East back when the league first started. When Calhoun first got there, he would use the Big East as a recruiting tool. And he might not get a player who was a five-star blue chip recruit, but he would use the ability to play games against these great players, against these great teams, as a reason to come to UConn. And eventually, he was able to turn things around. But again, I think Chris Smith, most important recruit in UConn history, key factor in that Big East championship in 1990. And from that point on, UConn began to dominate the league. And those games in the Big East, especially after UConn got good, those were things of beauty. The crowds were intense. The competition was intense. There were some physical moments, and sometimes technical fouls were ejected. Midland and Donnie Marshall, where Donnie got tossed, couldn't play the next game. But the Big East tournament still is great. But back in those days, it was special. That place was packed. That place was loud. That place was intense. And then in 2013, UConn goes to the American Athletic Conference out of necessity because of the whole conference realignment thing, and Big East football was no more. And I tell you what, except for one year in Memphis, the AAC tournament couldn't hold a candle to what was going on in the Big East tournament. And also, that league had teams that you just don't feel any kind of rivalry, any kind of geographical connection to. You had a connection to Syracuse, St. John's, Providence, Boston College, Villanova. What connection is there to Houston, Tulsa, Wichita State, Tulane? And six of the 11 teams in the AAC were in the Central Time Zone. So every road game was like a 3 or 4 hour charter plane flight. I like to fly, but that road travel got to me that year. So getting back in the Big East, I don't think it's quite like it was, but you saw the Big East tournament this year. It was loud. It was exciting. It was special. And I, for one, am very glad that UConn is back in the Big East when it comes to basketball, both men and women.
Jumping around again, Wayne, because this is another topic that some fans wanted me to get to. Talk a little bit about the Coach Edsel era for UConn football.
Meanwhile, over on the football field in 2008, they'd been to a couple of bowl games at this point, but they also had Donald Brown. I think Donald Brown was one of the most important recruits in UConn football history. And there's Joe and I broadcasting football of Donald Brown at Little University of Connecticut. Donald Brown led the nation in rushing yards in 2008. I was just up at the UConn football complex lobby the other day, and there's an entire display on that in the lobby. He had 2,083 yards. And the fact that there's football teams all over the country, including some of these powerhouses like Alabama and Southern Cal and Tailback U, places like that. And University of Connecticut has the nation's leading rusher. I think that's an overlooked fact in UConn football history. And he, of course, led them also to a bowl game victory in the International Bowl in Toronto at the end of that season. In fact, I was doing the post-game interview with him in the locker room after the game, and that is when he made his announcement that he would turn pro, drafted by the Colts, and not come back for senior year. We actually broke that story on the postgame show for that day. So Husky football was beginning to really make a move, and I give Randy Edsel a lot of credit for what he did. When Skip Holtz left UConn in 1998, he had a great team, but a lot of those guys had their eligibility used up, and the cupboard was bare. So Edsel took his licks in 99 and 2000. And one thing, in my opinion, that Randy Edsel really did well was stick to his guns. He'd got some good recruits coming in. Rather than put those recruits on the field as true freshmen, he took his lumps those first couple of years and let those kids stay in the program as redshirts, not play in their first year, learn the system, put on some weight, be better players as redshirt freshmen, redshirt sophomores, and so forth. And those guys became pretty good. I mentioned Donald Brown, one of the most important recruits in UConn football history. Well, Dan Orlovsky is probably number one. Probably the best quarterback UConn football has ever had. And also on the defensive side of the ball with those same teams, the ones that made the first bowl game in 2004, was the great linebacker Alfred Fincher from Massachusetts. Those two guys really made UConn football better. So then the Huskies go on and play, in all things, a New Year's Day bowl game at the end of the 2010 season. They won the Big East tournament on a long field goal late by Dave Taggart, one of Jody Ambrosio's best calls in such a dramatic moment that qualified them for a New Year's Day bowl game. And I'm a guy who used to go to UConn football games as a student, used to broadcast UConn football games when they were 1AA, when they were playing Rhode Island, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine, schools like that. And now we're playing in Glendale, Arizona against Oklahoma. Yeah, Oklahoma won easily. That's not the point. The point is, from where UConn was to where UConn got, that was jaw-dropping for me. It was just amazing to see how far that program had come. Now, after Edsel left, under the cover of darkness, down to go to the coach at the University of Maryland, some of the subsequent coaches didn't hold the bar up as high. I don't think they recruited as well. And eventually, they hit rock bottom. They'd won four games in 4 years before last year, when they won six and got back to a bowl game. So I think that at this point, Jim Moore is doing a great job rebuilding the program, but Randy Edsel gets a big thumbs up from me. I know a lot of fans don't like the way he left the program, but the bottom line is he brought that program to a big-time football status, and now we're trying to get back to the standard that Edsel set at UConn.
We are running short on time on this third installment of the Broadcaster at 100. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, looking back on the UConn games on WTIC. Of course, I wanted to let everybody know that we will have a second show on UConn with Jody Ambrosio at a later date. We'll wrap up with Wayne, though, in just a moment, color analyst for UConn. And you can find me on social media at MC News Talk.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hey, it's Bill Cunningham, the Great American, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. No relation, unfortunately. And by the way, we're celebrating the broadcaster at 100.
As we wrap up with Wayne Norman, color analyst for UConn Athletics, men's basketball, women's basketball, and football as well. And Wayne was on WTIC from that 1992 to 2018 period that we've been focusing on. I wanted to just ask just some quick questions, maybe one or two here, if I could squeeze it in, about behind-the-scenes stuff. Maybe some of the famous people or favorite people that you've met over the years.
Well, politicians, yes. Of course, the father of the current UConn assistant coach, Luke Murray, is Bill Murray. And you might have seen a couple of his movies or Saturday Night Live over the course of time. You mentioned the governor. I interviewed the governor at halftime of the national championship. Gino Auriemma was there, and I interviewed him at the semifinal game. And I think one interesting story about that is the question I asked him regarding the fact that he's down there supporting the men's program and how well the women's and the men's programs get along these days. That includes the players. I think the players always did, but I think there was some animosity back in the old days between the men's and women's coaching staffs, but I don't think that's there anymore. I really think that Coach Dan Hurley has a lot of respect for what Coach Auriemma does and vice versa.
And my last question is your memories and thoughts on working at WTIC for 26 years doing the UConn games.
I just liked the overall staff that we work with at TIC. You mentioned Bill Pierce earlier. Billy was one of our earlier producers. We had a slew of great engineers over the course of time. I remember Tim Helmecki, a guy that I'm still very close with, is our friend Eric Davis, Mudbone. He was my roommate on the road a lot, and we had a riot. We had a lot of fun talking together. And then the people inside the building at TIC who I got to know over the course of time, including the great Steve Salhaney, the great Janine Lee, Yeah, I really thought that they ran a very professional operation, and they were very good to work with when it came to my position.
Arnold Dean, what are your memories of him?
What an awesome guy. What a sweetheart. Of course, you know, Arnold predates me when it comes to broadcasting UConn games. He and I used to travel together. I remember in 1996, we were traveling together at the NCAA tournament. That was one of those disappointing years. There was a lot of people who thought that 1996 team should have gone to the Final Four. But again, like in 94, a key injury was a factor. Anyway, I spent a lot of time with Arnold in that 96 season. The year before, when they went to Utah for the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament, Arnold and I went up to a 10,000-foot mountain on the front range of the Wasatch Mountains outside of Salt Lake City. So we became really good friends. One of the nicest guys I've ever met in this business.
Wayne, I want to thank you for coming on Spotlight Connecticut, the broadcaster at 100, part one on UConn and WTIC. I'm Morgan Cunningham, and we'll do this all over again next month, celebrating 100 years of WTIC.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.